almost an hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith. We do that for 50 minutes every afternoon. Welcome in on this 4th of July weekend eve, if you will. No, it's here, right? The 1st of July. And as I've said many times, and I almost hate to say this every time I say it, but I say it, and it happens. Man, fall comes so quickly after the 4th of July. It's like summer's over. It's crazy. So I'm sorry to say that. I know you say, Leo, how dare you? But that happens. And yesterday I had a lot of things to talk about, and then I forgot that I had guests the entire show. Like, literally, I sat down and I was like, oh yeah, I've got the show full of guests. So all that stuff that I said I was going to talk about yesterday, we're going to talk about today. And then some, because now there's even more great stuff to talk about, like Caitlyn Jenner praising Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. We'll talk about that. And Mitt Romney basically saying that his family still wants him to run. And I don't think it's just his family. I think there are many conservatives who are saying, Mitt, please, please save us. We'll talk about all of that and more this afternoon. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back with more in just a moment.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit BreadboxMedia.com.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown, happy to be with you. Leo Brown, Almost an Hour, 50 minutes. Every afternoon, culture, current events, or Catholic faith, that's what we do. And I posted this over on my Facebook page and did this yesterday. I saw a couple of friends post it, and I thought, yeah, it's controversial enough. I can repost this. That's my guideline, right? That's my qualifier. Is this controversy? If it is, on the Facebook page. I should just have that print song, you know, rolling in the background, which we can't do because it's licensed music, and that's another story. But anyway, so it's this video of a kid going through, and I kind of like the journalistic nature of this. It reminds me of some of the stuff that I admired as a kid watching news, which I oddly did even as a very young individual because I was into that kind of stuff. But the story in a nutshell is this kid who goes from place to place, getting denied purchases of alcohol and purchases of cigarettes and purchases of lottery scratch-off tickets and all of these things that he can't do because he's just 13 years old. And everyone's like, oh, I'm sorry, baby. I'm sorry, honey. Whatever these women, right, who are cashiers talking to this young boy because he's not old enough. He can't do these things. And then it ends up with him at a gun show. And what does he do as a 13-year-old? He can buy a rifle, which he does and walks right away. No parental consent, no checking his age, no questions asked. And so that's one thing. But then what I put, which interestingly has gotten absolutely no response, because all anybody is seeing is the context, not the subtext, which I tried to apply some subtext because I'm a subtext kind of guy. And so what I said was, if this young 13-year-old was a girl who happened to be pregnant, she could legally obtain an abortion without her parents' consent, and her adult boyfriend, meaning over the age of 18, over the age of 16 in some states, depending on where the statutory rape laws are applied, could have escorted her to that abortion and procured that abortion for her, and her rapist would not be reported. Now, that to me is more of an issue than buying a gun, right? Now, I think we got a couple of things to look at here, a lot of things to look at here, if you ask me, because we got kids who can, who are not allowed to buy lottery tickets, not allowed to buy cigarettes. Okay, that's alcohol, whatever. But a lottery ticket? They can't do that. You got to be at least 18 to do that. But they can go buy a gun. And we know they can procure an abortion. No questions asked. No parental consent. 13 years old, sure. Why not? 16-year-old boyfriend, 18-year-old boyfriend. We don't want to hear that. We don't need to know how old your boyfriend is, they would say. And that's been proven because there's the undercover videos in the Lila Rose style, which is a little bit different. A little bit different than the David DeLayden, which I know DeLayden was a part of the Lila Rose group and decided to do what he did. But Lila's a little bit different, kind of going in under the pretext of a young woman seeking an abortion and getting the information. Again, I'm not a fan of the secretive anything. Be out front, be a journalist, do that. We've talked about that a zillion times, and I've been roundly criticized for having the audacity to think that anything is, if the ends, the end will justify the means, Leo. What are you talking about? Why would you not praise? Literally, one of the accusations I had when we were going through all of that stuff, and I was audacious enough to criticize, was, Leo, you should be praising God. You should be praising God that this is happening, but yet all you can do is criticize this young man's integrity. what a tangled web we weave, right? Shakespeare, not gospel, but still, I think wisdom, and this is something we've got to realize that is a part of this. But nonetheless, this video that I'm referring to, I don't know. It wasn't like catching anybody in the act. It wasn't. It was just simply illustrating what happens and how this happens and how it's so easily obtained. And yeah, I think there's a problem with that, right? And I know that there's been much consternation over this, and there are those who are like, well, what's the big deal? This is a rifle out in the country. We did this. Yeah, well, sure. I did too. I grew up in the country where we had rifles, and some had handguns. Everybody had at least a .22 rifle or a shotgun. Absolutely. That was part of being a country boy. I was right there with them. I get that. But I wasn't, I didn't try to purchase a rifle at 13, which maybe you can anywhere, any place, any time. But it certainly seems like if we can do this, no questions asked, but we can't buy a lottery ticket, we've got some priorities way out of whack. Now, certainly, a lot of talk over the gun legislation and the Democrats, of course, House Democrats. What were they doing? They did the sit-in, and then they threatened something else. I can't remember what it was, like another something. And forgive me for not having that story in front of me. And I don't know if they've done that or not. Whatever it was, what other form of protest they were planning to do. And now it looks like the Republicans have at least offered something, not the bill that they wanted, but if I'm not mistaken, it's a, and this is over at my Facebook page, just don't have it in front of me, but the proposed legislation would allow a 3-day period of judicial interaction, right? Intervention, perhaps I should say, intervention. I said it a moment ago, then forgot. So that probably not going to satisfy the Dems who really want a much more restrictive form of gun control. But to me, it's interesting, right? It's at least interesting to think that conservatives are moving toward any sort of restriction. And, you know, it's the proposal that I placed on my Facebook page, they got days upon days of response. And that was this, which are you willing to do, right? Will you give in? Give some ground on gun control? And I didn't say it that way. I put a flat-out ultimatum to get rid of all, quote-unquote, AR-style, whatever, AR-15s, you name it. You know what I'm talking about. The assault style, and we're not going to get into that. You don't know what an assault rifle is, buddy. Of course, you get all of that. But versus abortion, right? What's the bargain here? What are you really willing to do? And some, I have to admit, I was very impressed with, said Leo, if it meant all abortions being eradicated, we could guarantee that, I would be the first in line to surrender. And I don't even think that was my proposal. My proposal was a ban. It was a ban on sale. I don't think it was I think maybe I said a total ban, but I didn't mean you got to go and melt down your gun. But that was the response that some had. Yeah, they would step up. And then others, complete holdouts, no way would they do this. And I realized the criticism that I received there was those who said these are not fair comparisons, but they're both constitutionally protected. And the proponents and opponents, however you want to look at it, there are those who are against gun control who said, well, the Constitution never allowed for this type of weaponry. And then there are those who will say, well, there were automatic rifles even when the Constitution was written, and don't think that that's the case, because that's not the case. But then there are those adamant abortion supporters who will say, look, there is a constitutional right. The Supreme Court proved this in 1973, that this is absolutely the way things are, and we've got to realize that's the way it is. This is a constitutional protection based on privacy, right? And then there are those who say, well, that's flimsy. And it goes both ways. So we'll see if in this, what seems to be some degree of concession from the Republicans saying, okay, well, we'll give you a little bit of something here. Where's the bargaining chip? There's always bargaining chips, right? There's always, in legislation, it's always a deal. There's a deal going down. And maybe, I guess, if there's anything that could be said of Donald Trump, he's a deal maker, I guess, right? Not that I will support him in a presidency, but there's a lot of deals that get made. That's what legislation is all about, unfortunately. Hey, more to come. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown, Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Culture, current events, our Catholic faith. We do that for 50 minutes every afternoon. 4th of July weekend, happy and safe 4th. And if you do the traditional eating the raw cookie dough, I don't know why this became a thing. Is it something that we do at the 4th of July? I think cookie dough shows up around Christmas time more. But anyway, it kind of broke now because I guess the FDA is now concerned that if you eat raw cookie dough, you could be opening yourself up to E. coli, which, not because of the raw eggs, but because of the raw wheat, which, you know, as a celiac sufferer, wheat is bad all the time for me. But I had no idea that by not cooking your cookies, which kind of goes into cookie, right? Cookies, they're cooked, but anyway. Not cooking your cookies could lead to some problems. So if that's your 4th of July tradition, gathering around the bowl of cookie dough, and then what happens with cookie dough ice cream, right? And we've had issues with ice cream anyway, with the crazy things that can happen in the production of ice cream, and pretty much, I guess, has Bluebell, have they even come back? Have they started producing anything since then? I mean, my goodness, right? This was a total shutdown. So whatever you do there on your 4th of July weekend, be safe. Avoid the cookie dough. I feel like the announcer at Woodstock. Avoid the brown cookie dough. So, interesting things brewing. Apparently, I mentioned Donald Trump as it might be an interesting game to see how many Trump references I have to make within a show. Maybe we can start keeping score. We'll see what happens. But, you know, I mean, my goodness. There are two guys who kind of dominate media because they're always doing something that gets attention. One of them, because he is a Republican frontrunner for the presidency. The other is because he is the pontiff of the Roman Catholic Church. But interestingly, they both stay at the forefront. One, I will defend to any degree because I can always back him up. The other guy, indefensible. I think you know who I'm talking about. So anyway, I don't know much about this, quite frankly, but other than the fact that Caitlyn Bruce Jenner, has come out with his apparently glowing endorsement of Trump for having a special place in his heart for the LGBT community. I did not know this, and I don't know what evidence is out there, but apparently Jenner is convinced that, yes, Trump is the advocate, right? The champion of the LGBT, and was not aware of this, but, you know, Trump is unconventional. I'm not saying that he's not. I'm not saying that at all. Maybe he is. I just was not aware of it. I haven't seen that evidence, but who is to say? But it's very interesting nonetheless, because it kind of seems like juxtaposition. And so my post on Facebook was, you know, is this a possible VP pick? Right? What a combination there. Trump, Jenner. And with that, you talk about energy in the base. I'm not sure you're going to get the right kind of energy you want, but it would be very interesting to see nonetheless. So time will tell. Time will tell who the running mate is. Apparently, Chris Christie is on the short list, as I understand, which to me is interesting because Christie kind of fizzled pretty quickly. I mean, he didn't really have a whole lot of stamina. Then you've got the whole degree of the controversy over the Bridgegate or whatever they called it, where, you know, the Christie supporters, Christie cabinet, I guess, if you will, shutting down traffic, causing apparently what they have said is a woman to die who could not get emergency assistance, and it was all because of this stunt that was being pulled by the Christie cabinet. And that, so that to me seems like an odd pick, just because didn't really have a whole lot of momentum anyway. So, and then, as I mentioned to start the show, Romney is now saying, my family wants me to run. You know, what? I mean, we're getting close. We're going to know something very soon, right? It's just, a few weeks away. I'm not sure the exact date, July something. We're in the month of the convention season. And what happens next is anybody's guess. I don't really think that we know yet. And it all may just kind of blow over, and we may have settled on our two supposed candidates, but I think it's still a wild card. I think we still have a couple of wild cards. And where this goes, we can't tell yet. Time will tell. I do know this. I am a fan of Romney. I do believe that he has ethics. I believe that he has values. I think that he would be a fine presidential candidate. But my mind is made up, and I've said this, and I'm going to reveal who I will be voting for, because I found my candidate. I found who I believe, and we're hopefully going to conduct an interview here on the show next week. I think that this woman truly does embrace the ethic of Catholic, a Catholic conscience, right? Of Catholic faithful citizenship. I think she gets it. And as I understand, she's going to be on the ballot in all 50 states, if not a physical ballot opportunity, a certain legitimate write-in candidate, because she will have that candidacy qualification across the country. And like I said, we're going to talk to her next week. We're going to get some more information about her. And I think, based on what I've seen, you will be impressed. And especially if you think it's the lesser of two evils, you don't have to do that. I'm giving you the opportunity to not accept that garbage as gospel and say, well, I'm going to vote with my conscience. I'm going to vote with my vote. And my vote is for an individual who I want to vote for, and not throwing my vote away because I'm voting for the person I want to vote for. Now, if you were voting for someone you didn't really want to vote for just to keep somebody else out, but you don't think that's throwing your vote away, I don't get that logic. I really don't. And I get it a lot. And I've had it a lot, and we've talked a lot about this. I still don't understand. And maybe I get it, right? I get at least this. I don't understand everything, right? There are certain things that baffle me and have and will baffle me. So this is one of them. Okay, so I'm throwing my vote away because I'm actually casting my vote for someone that I believe in, but you, in your lesser of two evils, to keep someone else out of the presidency, you're not. So, crazy, crazy logic. Pretzels come to mind, right? The beautifully twisted snack. And there's a company called Glutino, just so you know. I was talking about the wheat earlier and my celiac disease. I don't care if you've got celiac disease or not. The yogurt-coated Glutino pretzels, I would eat an entire bag right now if it was in front of me, and still want more. So if you get a chance to try those, don't think that all gluten-free stuff tastes like sand, because much of it does, but not all of it. So anyway, and apparently Chick-fil-A now coming out with a gluten-free bun, and Culver's with a gluten-free bun as well. So good stuff with those guys. Where did I get on? Oh, pretzels. That's right. See, look how easily distracted I am. I must be ready for a late lunch, perhaps. Because I stay so busy, I rarely eat anyway. So that's part of my challenge. But so the pretzel logic of voting, this is a problem. And I think it's something that we all need to kind of grow up about and not buy into the you're throwing your vote away. And the question that I ask as well, because the accusation has been levied against me. Well, Leo, if you do that, then you're just going to give your vote to Hillary. That's been the criticism. Well, how do I know that if that is the logic, how do I know that I didn't give my vote to Trump? Right? I mean, I guess because I would have been voting for Trump. Is that the assumption? So therefore I'm not. So I must be voting for, right? I do not understand this. I'm sorry. I really don't. I mean, I'm just confused by it. Because, and then as I posted on my Facebook page last week, it must be something akin to, if I don't like Coke, I must love Pepsi. And I was saying about the Pepsi Crystal yesterday, and then a buddy of mine said, it's so you can sneak your Zima in to work. Zima, right? Where did that go? The clear malt beverage, which there's probably a lot of stuff you could sneak in, quite frankly, if you really wanted to. Don't need to worry about the crystal clearness of the Pepsi Crystal. You could sneak right on all kinds of interesting things. So sorry to get distracted into food and beverage, because the important stuff that we're talking about is how to vote with a Catholic conscience. Talked a lot about this, and I hope you've read it, and if you haven't, it's posted at my Facebook page. Dig through my post, you'll find it, or just go to the USCCB and look for the document. Forming Consciences for Faithful Citizenship. I think it should be required reading of every Catholic before stepping into the voting booth. I think that when you get to the polls, you should be questioned. And if you haven't read it, you need to sit down. 42 pages, will you finish that up before you step in here, right? If I had anything to do with it, that would be the case. Read it. Back with more. I'm Leo Brown. Leo Brown Almost Hour. Back after this.
Redbox Media invites you to bless the yes. Your designated parish, school, club, or nonprofit will receive 50% of all revenue from the sponsorships. To find out more about Bless the Yes, visit redboxmedia.com.
Good afternoon, we're back. I'm Leo Brown. Happy to be with you, Leo Brown. Almost Hour, culture, current events, our Catholic faith. 4th of July weekend upon us, which means come Tuesday, it's back to school, right? That's where everything goes. Actually, I was in a shopping facility, a retail outlet, I guess it's a store, maybe that's a better way of explaining it, and they were already putting out the best, back-to-school stuff with the alongside the 4th of July. Couldn't wait. You know, it's always anticipation of the next thing, right? That's what it's about. When Christmas decor goes up immediately after the 4th of July, then we can start worrying. I'm sure that that's somewhat of a sign of the apocalypse. It has to be, I'm guessing. I mentioned that yesterday's show kind of, for whatever reason, I totally have kind of been in a fog this week. Well, I know the reason. We had a death in the family. There's been a lot of things going on. My wife was out of town. We're getting ready to go out of town for the weekend to attend the funeral, and just a lot of things that have been distracting. And, but you know, I that's no excuse. I'm a distracted individual. But anyway, I had all of these things to talk about, and then I forgot I had a show full of guests. So now all of the things I wanted to talk about, I still haven't talked about. So it's the last segment of the show. So we'll blaze through some of this stuff and we'll see if we can get through it. I found this interesting, and normally I don't post this kind of stuff. If you follow this show, you follow my Facebook, it's usually pretty consistently political stuff for the most part, Catholic stuff, undoubtedly. But then I saw this and I thought, you know what, that's interesting, because my wife is enamored by these guys, and it's the Gaines couple, Chip and Joanna Gaines, the fixer-upper couple. And you know, I've always kind of thought, well, nobody could be that perfect, right? Because they come off as this, you know, so generous and so genuine. And I really, really don't want to sound like I'm that cynical, but I think I am that cynical. So I saw this and I was like, ooh, what's that? And I checked it out from a looper.com, talking about the untold truth of Fixer Upper. So this is what's interesting. If you've ever seen this show and you see any HGTV show, it's the same thing, maybe in a different setting, different place, different dynamics, but they make over these homes, and they have this amazing transformation, and it's super inexpensive. They do it all for $30,000 or less or whatever, and rebuild a house that I saw them one time buy a house for $30,000 or $60,000 maybe, and then turn it immediately into $150,000 property because of the repairs. Well, one thing is you're paying for it, right? So you don't think that when the gains come and knock on your door that they're going to give you that makeover for free. That doesn't happen. So that's one thing. We expect that. But then apparently what I found interesting the most was the fact that they decorate these houses and they've got all of this furniture and home decor and all of this stuff they do. Well, guess what? That is stripped out of the house after the shooting. You could buy it if you wanted it, but if you don't want to fork over the extra cash because you just spent $30,000 on your makeover and you don't have another $20,000 for the furniture, well, it's gone. It's all staged. So I just found that a little bit interesting when you think about this, what seems to be uber authenticity of these guys. And maybe it's not. Maybe it's really not. Apparently, it's really not. So this was interesting. I got into this. I was talking about it yesterday briefly, and then again, I forgot I had interviews. So then Maura Noonan came on and we shifted gears. But this is some pretty interesting stuff. And it's this bizarre meeting between Bill Clinton and Attorney General Loretta Lynch, who, this is whether it gets any play or not, whether this gets into enough of the spin cycle for anybody to care, it's hard to say. But apparently they met at as their planes were on the same tarmac, and Bill Clinton invited Loretta Lynch over for just an impromptu discussion, apparently, about their families, about the grandkids, just some chit chat, right? And when your wife is the presidential front runner on the Democrat ticket and under government investigation, and you just happen to have a requested meeting with the attorney general. I mean, if anybody wanted to play into the conspiracy theories that are already out there, and there are plenty of them, you would kind of begin to wonder. This one doesn't look so good. So, and there was the gentleman who, the UN guy, John, I'm drawing a blank on his last name right now, who, died in this accident, weightlifting accident. And then, of course, the conspiracy theorists are saying, well, it was because he was going to testify against Clinton, which apparently wasn't scheduled to testify against Clinton. He was going to do an interview about what he knew, perhaps, but not a court appearance. And he was under investigation himself. But, all of these things that are kind of fishy to begin with, and then you see something of this nature, which looks kind of even more suspicious. Who knows? Who knows what the conversation was? We will never know. Apparently, it was about grandkids and just some friendly chit chat. Because hey, this is all, it's all good. No, threats or bribes. Who knows? Anyway. Speaking of dubious behavior, let's get back to Trump and NBC News reporting that there's no proof, or at least Donald Trump will not provide proof of this loans to his campaign that he forgave. So not sure the full dynamics of this, but it certainly seems like he's not willing. And then there are those who are saying, well, why does it matter? Why does he have to? That's not a big deal. But, it kind of shows that there's something about this transparency that really isn't there. And then whether it's true or not, it's political spin time, no doubt. But apparently there was a claim that he made of millions of dollars of charitable giving that was never substantiated. And the only thing that could be found on tax returns was maybe $10,000 annually, which, you know, for a guy with that kind of cash, apparently, that doesn't look like a lot of charity. So you kind of got to wonder that it's interesting to say the least. Now, speaking of those who have stepped up and definitely put some money out there for the common good, I don't care what you think about Walmart and the Walton family, but apparently $250 million on top of an original $1 billion pledge to help fund charter schools in communities where they're needed. And, you know, some would say, well, why do you ever need a charter school? I've heard that kind of talk before. I've heard the questions and concerns over not just trusting the public school system, but there's something about the opportunity to address kids in a specific and special way that could lead to a different type of education that might be what certain kids need. And if there's funding to create these schools, and the one thing that they said was just the facilities are very difficult to obtain, certainly expensive to purchase. And then even if you purchase something that is accommodating, oftentimes it requires a tremendous amount of upgrades, remodels, and things that are going to be incredibly expensive. So $1.25 billion, that's pretty impressive to put out there. And we can only assume that this is just one thing that this family supports. And I think that we know that the original Walton philosophy was one of simplicity, was one of generosity, one of providing a product at a price, an affordable price, and an opportunity for those making purchases to feel like they were treated fairly, that they got a good product for a good price. And Walmart has been able to build what they've built. Now, I know that there are those who are anti-Walmart, who hate Walmart. I know that there were times that I even questioned their integrity when it came to the detriment of downtowns, because I remember the Walmart coming into my small town and then the mom and pops were gone. They just couldn't keep up. They couldn't support that. And then moving into a strip mall and then moving out of the strip mall and leaving an empty shell, because then they bought a new plot of land and built their own facility. I questioned that. But when you see someone stepping up with this type of what appears to be a very sincere commitment to a very specific type of education, the charter school system, I think you gotta applaud that. Even if, as I say, I have been anti-Walmart or I've questioned Walmart's tactics at times, I think it's good to see that kind of stuff. And hopefully that's an example to us all to be more charitable. And you can say, well, they have billions upon billions and hundreds of billions of dollars. They can do that. Well, talking about Trump, we can all be more charitable, right? So nothing wrong with a little example there. Hey, that's all we have time for this afternoon. Happy Independence Day. God bless you. Thank you for listening. Leo Brown, Almost Hour.